Nearly a decade after 9/11, workers are still dismantling the former Deutsche Bank building at 130 Liberty Street, which was damaged after the South Tower at the World Trade Center fell. WNYC reporter Bob Henley has been covering the story and joins us now for today's second backstory segment. Bob, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.
Construction at the World Trade Center site is going forward, but why isn't a building that was damaged on 9/11 hasn't it been fully demolished yet?
It's funny. I talked about this in my column, Stuck Nation, because in many ways, it exemplifies the problems we're having in our country. Because if you go back to its very roots, there were years where Deutsche Bank and insurers got involved with a major fight that they lost a couple of critical years in the beginning, where the insurance companies were saying, you can rehab the building. Deutsche Bank did some testing, which showed that it, at least according to their advocates, it was toxic and needed to come down. So that cost us time. Then we had the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, which was a state agency set up in the aftermath to coordinate things. Didn't have a track record, really was kind of created out of the ad hoc need to respond and plan Ground Zero. And then we had allegations of organized crime-linked companies getting involved, even at around Ground Zero, and then mismanagement at every level, resulting in, actually, the death of two firefighters, August 18th, 2007. And what's amazing about this, and so in some ways discouraging, is that the community board, throughout this whole process, warned the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation that things had become so disorganized at the site that such a loss of life was indeed possible.
Well, is this a unique situation? Weren't other buildings damaged?
Well, this was, in terms of its size and scale, 41 stories. So that's a huge footprint right there. And then the fact that it had this combination of human remains and asbestos and lead and all that World Trade Center whirlwind rushed in there at the speed of light throughout the whole building. So it had to be both decontaminated to asbestos standards and deconstructed. The critical error that was made by officialdom was in their rush to take it down as quickly as possible and not lose time. And this is kind of ironic in light of what happened. They created a situation where five stories would be decontaminated. How do they do that? They take plastic and plywood and create negative pressure so that you can actually take out of there the elements and it doesn't go out into the community, which had already suffered so badly in terms of the environmental
impact. Vacuuming them out?
Exactly right. Said better. And so once you do that, up top, five floors above you would be what? Acetylene torches. That's right. Cutting with arc of flame, and sparks would come down and do what? Get on the actual plastic and create fires. Now, add to this that for whatever reason, the FDNY never inspected the building because the local fire department, the local firehouse there did not have the proper equipment. That's right, did not have the proper equipment to survey the site.
This is in the greatest city in the world.
Exactly.
So how much is left to go?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You've got they're down to four stories. And so I took a tour of the site, and it was really quite something because you have a 360 panorama of New York City. And then underground, there is a coin vault, figures it's a bank. And believe it or not, and this is kind of bizarre, there is still an area at the site that needs to be scoured for human remains from 9/11.
And why hasn't that been done? Because of all the other stuff, all the contaminants
environment? And site logistics as well.
But I would assume that we're going to run into a whole other problem because there are the families of likely victims there.
Well, and I guess the question here, too, is the fact that we had Robert Morgenthau, one of the last big investigations he did was look at the fire. And actually, three individuals were indicted for their role in it, manslaughter. And Bovis Lendlease, the major contractor, such a big influence throughout the city, they had to pay in significantly. The city of New York itself got into considerable trouble at this point. And one of the most amazing things that came out of this investigation, which has not been widely reported, is that Morgenthau found out that citywide, the fire department was not inspecting every 15 days buildings under demolition. So really, in some ways, the loss of these firefighters threw a spotlight on something that was really substandard.
But I'm interested in the possible remains in the building for another reason. The families of victims have gotten so involved in the World Trade Center site, and they have prevented a museum from being built because of what that might imply. All sorts of other things have happened there because of their pressure. We're not hearing anything from them, as far as I can tell, about this site.
I think that what happened here is that where the crane was put up to take down all the metal and concrete that has to be pulverized to bring the building down, that was what created this. I think it's like under a third of an acre, if that, where it still needs to be examined. As a matter of fact, throughout the arc of the Deutsche Bank building, that was one of the problems, was that they did keep coming up with the need to re-examine remains. I mean, if your question is, what was the question of human remains not a top priority, I think that's a fair question.
Mm. Well, were other buildings that had been damaged, decontaminated
Funny
the same way?
Funny you should say that. Actually, there is an interesting example. You know how people say, like, higher education always screws things up? Well, in this case, the CUNY system, City University of New York, did a stellar job. That's right. I'm telling you, they had a building called Fitterman Hall, not nearly as tall. It's like 14 stories, 11 stories, and that is already down. And they had the same problem with the insurance wrangling. I mean, one of the problems in looking at this examination and the way this was done is that the whole insurance process really short-circuited an efficient cleanup job.
But was this different than what we saw at the World Trade Center site?
Well, I think that when you deal with it, again, the Deutsche Bank building is not properly part of the 16 acres. And what is so important for the Port Authority here is that underground at this site is exactly where the vehicle checkpoint has to go for the whole 16 acres. And in fact, the delays have cost the Port Authority, they say, $100 million. It's actually cost, I think, $90 million to buy the building, the toxic tower from Deutsche Bank. Boy, they got a deal. And then some $400 million to take it down, or $300 million to take it down. And they're still not done.
And so the figure is going to go much higher.
Well, and they also have a basement that they have to get out of there.
Bob Hennelly is my guest. He's been covering the story of the demolition of the Deutsche Bank building at 130 Liberty Street for WNYC's news, and also on his blog. And he is with me today for our second backstory segment. You mentioned Bovis Lendlease, and we see those Bovis signs all
huge.
Over city.
Right, they're big.
They and the other contractor, John Galt Corporation. How much do we know about them?
Well, we know that Bovis Lendlease is a multinational that is doing all major projects throughout the city. The John Galt Corporation was one that is alleged to have links to a company that is linked to organized crime that kind of just showed up on the scene. And the Department of Investigation, the city's integrity monitor, actually flagged John Galt as having problems behind the scenes with the LMDC. And
well, how did they wind up with this job?
That's a good question. It's kind of like Chinatown. What can I tell you?
A number of charges have been filed against both of the companies. Like what?
Well, no, Bovis Lendlease did not get criminal charges attached to them. At one point, one of the prosecutors said to me that they were too big. Listen to this. You'll like this. They were too big to indict because that would have the effect of slowing down contracts because you can't do government work if you're indicted. John Galt, however, that is a company that was subject to that kind of criminal oversight.
Who is the subcontractor who's involved in the thing that happened on August 2007 when two firefighters were killed in a blaze in the tower?
That was the Galt Company. And the concern was, I mean, the residents, the community board one down there, which was really well-informed people that have really been keeping a focus on this and trying to get government accountability, they actually raised the question of the lack of experience by the company, basically saying they were a scaffolding company. And they had done the research to find out what DOI was saying behind the scenes, that they weren't qualified for the job. Of course, everyone involved who has been charged maintains their innocence.
Well, then on top of it all, in January 2009, the former purchasing agent for Galt was charged with stealing more than $1 million by filing false invoices and using the money for expensive vacations and luxury cars. And yet they're still involved? This company still involved?
No, they're out of the picture. And now they have another company in there. And it seems, to at least according to the community activists and to the site inspection I did, to being done efficiently and safely.
So we have new people in them. Can we assume that There are no longer mob ties and other problems?
I will tell you what's very disconcerting is how endemic the role of organized crime is in construction. One of the stories that is kind of collateral to this is you may have heard about the concrete testing scandal. That's right, Leonard. Concrete testing. Who knew? It turns out that allegations filed by the Manhattan District Attorney indicate that for years, contract testers were certifying that concrete was of a certain grade, and it really wasn't. And where did they find this was happening? The Port Authority found out that evidently concrete that they bought for the foundations of the World Trade Center, the Freedom Tower, instead of 11,000 per square inch, it's 9,000 square per inch. It's not like anyone's going to knock it down. So, I mean, that's how endemic this is.
We were told that the train terminal, the PATH terminal in that area that had been designed by Calatrava was going to be scaled back because of lack of funds. So where's all the money for this thing coming from?
That is the LMDC got a certain amount of money from the federal government as part of this project. There's also insurance settlement money that came out of all this.
$400 million plus.
Right. And so this is part of the original redevelopment money that they have. So that's, and I think also the question is, what becomes of the site afterwards? And that's even more fascinating because while below ground there's supposed to be a vehicle checkpoint, there is a real question as to whether or not the land originally was supposed to be swapped under a member of understanding to the Port Authority, and now it looks like the LMDC may only give them access.
We're talking about a very valuable plot of land at 130 Liberty Street.
Right. J.P. Morgan was actually to go in there, but the economic downturn kind of put the, scotch that deal.
So even when this thing is finally completed, unless we have some kind of serious change in the economy, it may just wind up being an empty lot for a while.
Well, there is going to be a park because, of course, Lower Manhattan, what's amazing about this and talking about human resilience is you see so many baby strollers down there now. This is a residential community that needs a supermarket. And yet, ironically, that land may still have value. They're talking about perhaps an art center there, moving it from the site that is being contemplated of some combination of residential, but I get you're right. It's going to require some kind of turnaround that's not yet with us.
And the Port Authority estimates that it's spent an additional $100 million to work around the Deutsche Bank project. What does that mean?
Well, that means that down there you have to deal with the whole river and slurry walls and holding back the river and keeping it so that the site has proper water management. I mean, what's fascinating about Deutsche Bank is it's actually the foundation is only 10 feet above water level. So they have to keep a certain amount of weight in the basement so it doesn't pop out of the ground, destabilizing it.
Because this is all landfill down there?
Partially. And also the question here is every time that you have, it's a very complicated area down there because all of the city's infrastructure comes down to a finite point there. All of the electric lines, all of the communication lines, and all the transportation lines.
And that was a problem when the World Trade Center was destroyed in the first place. Suddenly all telephone communication, all computers, everything were unavailable downtown for quite a while. It affected us here at WNYC.
Right. It's a very nexus of downtown.
Well, but I want to just look at the real estate part of this again. It's been difficult to fill all of the floors of the proposed World Trade Center buildings. What happens if you put up another skyscraper here? Will anybody come?
I think we're seeing now a situation where downtown what seems to be happening is residential lofts is what's happening. We're seeing former commercial office space converted into this kind of workplace, living place. That seems to be what the market's demanding. But as far as that ethos of give me 2 million square feet downtown, we're going to have a global operation, you're right. I think those days are past.
We don't have less than a minute, but you were, I understand, at the Newtown Creek press conference today. This is something that we feel particularly involved in because, if anything, we kind of stimulated interest in that many years ago. What's the current situation?
Well, it's funny. That was my first story for the Village Voice down there in the 1980s. That's how long it's been going on. What's happened is we know about the Newtown Creek Superfund status for the waterway. Yesterday, what Attorney General Cuomo announced was that Exxon is going to pay up the subterranean anywhere between 17 to 30 million gallon spill underground.
Bob Hennelly has been covering the story of the Deutsche Bank building at 130 Liberty Street, the few floors that remain, and when that ultimately will be raised. I want to thank him so much for being part of our second backstory segment today.
Thanks so much, Leonard.